Podcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I recently preached a message right after Billy Graham passed away, and I preached that that was the closing of the era of the Philadelphian church, as far as the chronology, I believe. It's like with Methuselah. When he dies, it shall come. That's what his name means. And that's when the flood came. Methuselah died, and then the flood came. God waited and waited. He's the oldest man in the Bible, 969 years. He dies, and the flood comes. That's pretty neat. Because God did that with Billy Graham, I believe. He was the last touchstone to the Whitfields and the Wesleys and the great preachers of that day, D.L. Moody and Charles Haddon Spurgeon and some of the names you would remember. That was the times of the Great Awakening, 1700s and 1800s. Philadelphia represents that time period. And by the way, he says, because they've kept his patience in verse 10, I will keep you from the hour of temptation because you've kept my patience. That is the tribulation. He says, you'll be fine. You're not going to have to deal with that because you've furthered my kingdom in a way unlike anything the world had ever seen before. You may recall that what happened with the Great Awakenings was they didn't have buildings big enough to put the people in, so they had to go out and have what's called open-air meetings. They had to go out in fields because there were so many people. No buildings big enough. And so what we have, even with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he preached like six times a day, have to get tickets because people just wanted to get in. And so they gave tickets, not sold tickets, gave tickets. So if you had a ticket, you could get in because Metropolitan Tabernacle could not hold everybody. This was a time where people really wanted God and wanted His Word. And the nuances of theology on some of the more rudimentary things became backseat issues. They just wanted to preach the gospel and let Jesus take care of the outcome. The final church in the church age is the Laodicean church. Laos means people. You've heard of clergy, and you've heard of laity. Laity, that's you. Laity comes from the Greek word laos, Laodicea. Dicea means conquered. What it means is that the people conquer. In other words, the people are running the church today. The pastors aren't leading. The pastors are listening. Okay, what do you want? And I'll give it to you. That is what the Laodicean church age is all about. And that's where we are today. It's a church in apostasy. So Laodicea means the people conquer. The people finally get their own way. It's not unlike when they told Aaron to make them a golden calf. Make us our gods. And he gave all the gold and he brought out a golden calf. The priest was listening to the people, and it became a problem. And so we have a problem today. We have people who are saying, we want this, they give it to them. We want that, they give it to them. And now we're to the place where we will ordain anyone in any way, for whatever reason, no matter how morally compromised, let's say, they are. This world is a mess. And it is because of this age in which we live. And he says, I will spew you out of my mouth if you're part of that church. He says, because you're not cold or hot. Now, they sing and get sweaty. You know, you can sing and get happy. I can sing and get happy. I can sing and row, row, row your boat and laugh. I can listen to us sing a hymn in this morning service and I can laugh. I can get happy. But the fact is that singing is not being spiritual if it's not governed by the heart. And what we've done is we've placed our bands up here to the point where we can't function without them. In fact, when people talk of worship leaders, that is a new development. The worship leaders in the past were the pastors. The pastors would bring the Word of God and everybody would many times even stand for the reading of God's Word. And then they would designate someone maybe to lead hymns, but they wouldn't have this worship leader who, you know, is kind of loose and fast. And I just want you to know, I'm not saying everyone caught up in that is wrong or off base. I'm just telling you, this is something to consider for the believer. We are living in the day when the church is doing what the people want them to do. And what the people want is they want to be in the nursery. They want to stay in the nursery and play with the toys. They don't want to go out and fish for men. They don't want to live holy lives, godly lives, pure lives. They just want to have fun. And they want to give God a token appearance. In fact, church doesn't matter to those whose hearts are not connected. Because church is, I hate church. You know, our church is a bummer. Wait a minute, you know. When I get excited about things of the Lord, I'm excited you come to let me share them with you, okay? And hopefully you get excited because I'm excited because this book, listen, it's alive. It's alive. And the more I discover and the more I ruminate, I'm like that first psalm. The Bible says, I have no greater joy than in the nook with the book. You know, the Bible says, my delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law I meditate there in day and night. That is the person. He says, whatever that person does will prosper. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's a psalm about his relationship with God. He has one. That's the point. You want to know whether you're in or out? The Bible says in verse 19, the Lord Jesus summing this up, he says, you don't know in verse 17, you're wretched, miserable, naked, poor and blind. He says, you think you got it. He says, let me just tell you, here's the touchstone. You want to know whether you're saved or not? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He says, you got chastening? You're a child of God. Hebrews chapter 12, do not despise the chastening of God. Why? Because whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And here He brings it out. He says, you want to know whether you're really saved or not, whether you really have a heart relationship, do you go on sinning with impunity, without any kind of blip in your scale? Now, the blip can be you're just miserable. You know, you're running your car on diesel fuel when it's a gas engine. Your life is not working real well. It could be that because you just kind of ignore it, you've despised it, you've dismissed God's chastening, that you go further and eventually you wreck your car. You get a terrible illness, something like that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because they were dissembling at the Lord's Supper table, He says, because you've done that, many of you are sick. And many of you sleep. Were they lost? No, they're asleep. They're dead. They've gone home early. When I was a little boy, if we weren't playing well outside, sometimes my parents would say, come on in. You can't play. You go in the house. God says that to some believers. Chastening is the earmark of the believer. That's how He ends that church age section. That's the things which are. The things which shall be hereafter represent chapters 4 all the way to the end of the book, pretty much. And the word hereafter is the Greek word metatata. And that's a significant word for you to know because it's chapter 4, verse 1. He says, after this, I looked. The word after this is metatata. And he says at the end of the verse, he says, I will show you things which must be hereafter. Same word, metatata. So we have a threefold outline of the whole book. The book outline, things which you've seen, Jesus. The things which are, church age. The things which shall be hereafter. Now what happened in verse 1? It says, I heard a voice, as it were, as a trumpet saying unto me, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must come hereafter. Now understand this. A lot of people have a problem with the whole rapture idea. They want the rapture to be somewhere in the middle because they think the church is so bad they need to be beaten up. You know, did you know the church is called the Bride of Christ? I love what people have picked up on. You know, if in fact we have to go through the tribulation and get beaten up as a body of Christ, that's like saying I'm going to beat my wife up just before I bring her into wedding vows, you know, when we get in our marriage. You know, Jesus is not going to beat us up. He's going to get us out of here when the wrath of God pours out on the earth. The Bible says we are not appointed to wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain peace. He's getting us out of here. And this is that. Here's two places where it's explicitly said that we're going to be going in a rapture. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and following, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we, who are not dead, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortality must put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Now, that is a picture of the rapture. It's clearly said, I show you a mystery. We're going to be changed. We're going to be caught up. People who are dead are going to rise. We who are alive at the time are going to be changed. It's a moment. It's a bam. It's done. It's quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those who are asleep. We'll not precede them. We won't stop them. They're going to. The Bible says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen to me for a moment. We are living in a day where there's so many cynics and critics. Listen, this has been in the book ever since it was written. And it's about due to happen. Okay? We didn't manipulate it and say, let's get us an out clause and kind of come up with a new book. No, it's always been there. It represents for you and me the blessed hope. This is what we look forward to. We look for His coming. We look for the upper taker, not the undertaker. That's why we can live each day with confidence, because Jesus is returning one day soon. Israel's back in the land. Life is happening at breakneck speed. The world is deteriorating and corrupting. And you and I really see some things that you can't deny any longer. The slow path to hell is the one that leads people to destruction. We're not having a slow path now. We've got people who are at enmity with each other. There are race divisions. There are legal divisions. There is fragmentation in our constitutional government between the judicial and the legislative. And these things, it's crazy. And then there's gender divisions. Everybody's against everybody else. Young people think old people should be put up in some building somewhere and let to die. You and I are living at a time unlike anything ever before, because now what we're doing is we are raising little children for destruction. They're being born to go to hell because their parents aren't telling them about Jesus. And they don't care about Jesus, and they don't care about God, and they don't care about the church. And what care they do have is manipulated care of the Laodicean spirit. They're poor, wretched, naked, and blind. They take them, they go play. You know, many churches have video games for Sunday school. They have games and bands and fun, and it's all, boy, it's about you. Talk about Laodicea. Those kids come out of their groups into the congregation, and they want more of that. Because it's fun. You want to know what's fun? Seeing somebody get saved because you shared with them the unsearchable riches about Jesus. They now will not go to hell. That's cool. That's fun. But people have lost it, man. They're all about the easy. Give me some more ice cream and cookies and give me some cakes and, you know, forget about the work of the kingdom. No, what I'm saying to you, come up hither represents in chapter 4 that we are raptured. And when you see that in chapter 4, the rapture of the church is set before us. And at the rapture of the church in chapter 4, we now are catapulted into the throne room of God. Chapters 4 and 5 represent the throne room of God. The consensus is being polled. You ever poll somebody for how everybody's going to vote, right? Everybody's on board. Chapter 4 represents the people saying, you are worthy to go ahead and pull the trigger on the tribulation because you created all things at the end of chapter 4. You're the great creator. You're the creator. You created all things. So you're right to do this. Chapter 5, we see a book, a scroll in the room. What it is, it's a title deed. Nobody knows this, but it's written on the back and in the front. It's a scroll. Nobody can open it. John's brokenhearted. He says, I was brokenhearted because nobody could open the book. One of the elders reached over and said, it's okay. Watch this. And they see a lamb in the midst, and it's Jesus. And Jesus has prevailed to take the scroll. He takes the scroll. And everybody says, you are worthy to take the scroll. Why are you worthy to take the scroll? Well, you're worthy because in verse 9, you have redeemed us unto God from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You're the Redeemer. You're the Creator. You're worthy. You're the Redeemer. You're worthy. Do it. Nothing would do our hearts more good than to see Jesus being crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords by every faithful heart. So he gets the word. Go ahead, pull the trigger. He takes the scroll and he does. And in chapter 6, what we have is we have the breaking of the seals. From here on out, what you have is a continuum of sevens with a lot of parenthetical inserts. The first seven are seven seal judgments. The second sevens are seven trumpet judgments. And the third seven are seven vial or bowl judgments. The seven seal judgments are seals because they're the unfolding of this document. And the seal breaks and he gets to read more. That's the way we do in the old days. They'd read somebody's will. They'd open it, go a little further, open it, go a little further, and those seals would be broken. Well, what happens in the seal judgments is that there is a natural unfolding that takes place because of the rapture.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.